الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين، ونصلي ونسلم على نبينا الأمين محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We'd like to continue so that we can finish, inshallah, this course on how to build an Islamic household. And we have reached the subject of food. And we mentioned the last time we were together some of the etiquette of eating. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Some of the etiquette of eating, the reason why Allah sent down the food and the drink, and also some of the foods that are nutritious for us to eat, and some of the benefits of the food. We'd like to begin this evening with some more food, but this time some fruits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and that we can take benefit from, of which He has made subservient to us and for us, and some of their nutritional value. And then we can go on with some of the citations from the Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of these are mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, and some of them are not. One of the other types of fruits that we didn't mention the last time, in vegetables and fruits, is papaya. And papaya, according to the people of this science, they say that papaya gets rid of acidosis, which when you have a problem with acids in your stomach, and it becomes inflamed. It also helps with colon disorder. I'd like to stop here to say that 80% of all the illnesses that we have begins in the stomach. And the colon is the direct line to that stomach. And unfortunately, as we'll go on, inshallah, if Allah allows us, we'll find that in most cases, Muslims, human beings in general, we don't chew our food properly. And the way that the system is set up, our bodies that is that the teeth are designed in a manner by Allah, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari', Al-Musawwir, the one who created, the one who originated, the one who fashioned. He is the one who created the teeth in a manner that it does exactly what it's supposed to do. And everything is interrelated and everything is interconnected. The front teeth are designed for snapping and breaking. And the back teeth, the molars, are the ones that are used for chewing. And sometimes what happens, not sometimes, but in most cases, when the human being chews the food, we don't chew it properly. We call it mastication. We don't chew it properly. So a lot of times, the food goes down into the pipe that it's supposed to go down and reaching the stomach in a manner that it shouldn't be going down. In other words, the first stage of digestion is in the mouth, where there's fluids inside the mouth that assist the teeth to break it down into a smaller, like liquid manner, so that it can go down for the second stage and then the last stage through the colon. And what happens is that we eat the food whole. In addition to this, we put food on top of food. This is a habit probably almost the vast majority of us have, that we put food on top of food in our mouth. We already have food in our mouth, and then we take the fork or the spoon, our fingers, if we're eating with our fingers, and we put more food on top of that, and then before that even goes down, we put more food on top of that. And this really shows the animalistic nature of the human being, how we can't control ourselves, and how we just go overboard. And when every single thing that we do is designed to worship Allah. So therefore, when we don't do that properly, when the foods go down, the stomach is not designed to digest, to break down the material that's in our mouth, that came from our mouth. It's not designed to break down the material in the state that it's in. And then, because we don't eat properly, in addition to how many times we eat, and the way we eat, and the types of food that we eat, those things stick to the colon, and it backs up those that system that's used to purge out and to release toxins. And we end up with toxins. We end up with bad eyesight. We end up with bad breath. We end up with liver problems. We end up with kidney problems. We end up with circulatory problems where we don't have good circulation, where we can't sit for cross-legged. We're sitting down on the floor without switching our feet because our feet fall asleep. There's a variety of things that happen. So I would suggest that every Muslim, in addition to what we're going to be discussing in the next two or three nights, that we, besides changing our diet, that every Muslim, inshallah, take at least one colonic in a month. And you can find this in some Muslims who have this service, colonic irrigation, and I won't go into detail of what it is, but on how it's done, but what it does is, it's water that's inserted inside your body, and it cleans out your intestinal tract, your colon. And you'd be shocked in some systems when you see the waste matter that's been inside of your system maybe for years, that's become caked up and has become solid on the walls of your colon. And this is one of the reasons why we have aches and pains, and because of this problem. Colonic, from the word colon. Call it colonic. Colonic irrigation. Also, and someone may ask the question, why do we have to do this today, and they didn't do it in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reason why they didn't do it in the time of the Prophet, and even before the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is because people ate differently, they exercised more, their eating habits were different, and what they were eating didn't have preservatives, didn't have pesticides, didn't have artificial flavoring, etc. So this is the reason. And the food they ate was a high fiber-based food, which helped send the nutrients throughout the body to help the person's body be able to stay healthy, which is the reason why we're created, is to worship Allah. And if we don't have healthy bodies, we can't properly worship Allah. This is one of the reasons why people can't stand up at night. This is one of the key reasons why people cannot stand up in tahajjud at night. And this is why Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, said that the sign of a person with taqwa, one of the signs of a muttaqi, is his eating habits. One of the other benefits that we get from eating papaya is that it helps with enzymes. It has the enzyme. It helps with enzymes in the body. And also chronic illnesses, also digestion of protein and ulcers. If you ever find yourself with gastritis, or you have a gas problem where you're breaking wind a lot, or your stomach is making that sound a lot, just go to the health food store, buy some natural papaya or the papaya pills, and chew them, eat them, it'll take care of that. You don't have to buy Pepto-Bismol and all these things that have your chemicals in it. These things are taken care of by the natural things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already created. Also, papaya helps break down any substances that you don't need, the unwanted substances in your body, and including that uric and toxic acids in the body. And also, if your child has a digestion problem, your infant, that is, give your baby a piece of papaya. Just break it down, chew it up, put it in the baby's mouth. It'll help the baby. If you do it with the formula that you've given it, like the breastfeeding or whatever, natural formula, bananas, it helps the baby digest things. As for this other fruit that Allah created, raspberries. Raspberries helps with liver tonic, as a liver tonic. It helps diarrhea. It will stop diarrhea. Raspberries will also stop frequent urination. If you go to the bathroom, urinate a lot. It'll also help impotence. And this may sound like something people may not want to talk about in the masjid, but these are things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba used to address. Impotence has a direct result on marriage and divorce. If a man is impotent, he can't keep an erection to satisfy his wife, this can cause a person to get a divorce. This is important. So what do we do? After we stand up at night to ask Allah Azza wa Jal to assist us, you can tell the person to change their diet, eat raspberries, tell the brother eat raspberries, just for help. Because Allah has given a solution to every problem before we even ask for it. Allahu Akbar. Also, the dried leaves of raspberries can be used as an herb, which makes the herb tea, raspberry tea, which helps in almost every conceivable female disorder. Almost every single female disorder known to man, raspberries will take care of it. As for peaches, peaches contain beta carotene, vitamin A. It contains potassium. Peaches contain fiber, in addition to being low in calories. Peaches are also good for those suffering from cancer. Peaches have been proven to help cancer. And we're not talking about canned fruits, brothers, sisters. We're not talking about canned fruits. We're talking about natural papaya, natural raspberries, natural bananas, natural peaches. And that's talking about canned stuff now that's been sprayed, and then the chemical itself in the can, the lining in the can, in addition to the spray that they put on the fruits and vegetables, there's chemicals in the lining of the aluminum of the can that also goes into your body. We're talking about natural, if you can, organically grown fruits and vegetables. Peaches have also been known to help heart disease and some other types of illnesses. They also, of course, we know they're soft and easy to digest. And elderly people should always have this fruit in their diet. Peaches should not be bought when they're rock hard, and they should not be bought when they're extremely soft. They should be bought when they're just in between, and not with a green tint. They should have a creamy yellow or red color, and they should have a smell like a peach. You don't want to buy a peach that smells like a watermelon, right? As for pears, pears are natural laxatives. You don't have to buy X-Lax. That the chocolate that's on the X-Lax is probably made in a huge vat where people always find roaches, rodents that have fallen into the vat. Check some of these things out. You'll find that a lot of cases, these places which produce chocolate, they're huge vats with this huge piece of machinery that stirs it, and it's just watched by this one person, and things fall in it. This is like Hershey bars, Almond Joys. You just go, just one day, take a trip to see how these things are made. And you'd be shocked at how these things are made. So if you want to have a natural laxative, just make some pears. Smash it up, eat it, or eat the pear the way it is. Also, pears will help in chronic gallbladder disorders. And people have, we have a big gallbladder problem in the United States. Also, pears it's been proven that consistent pear consumption helps cure arthritis. Pears. And also it helps cure gout. And I don't know if you brothers know what gout is. Gout is when you have those big, your arms, your neck or your feet, your ankles swell up like the size of a grapefruit. Right? It also helps your lungs and also helps your stomach. And we know that pears are high in fiber content. Also, which is mentioned in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions pomegranate, which we call Chinese apples. This fruit is eaten, and it also can be used as a juice, and you find pomegranate juice all over the Middle East. If you go to Asia and Africa, you'll find pomegranate juice all over the place. They call it rumman. Rumman. It's used to treat diarrhea. It's used to treat excessive perspiration. You can take pomegranate juice and gargle it for sore throats, for fevers, leucorrhea. If you have a tapeworm infestation, you can use pomegranate juice. And we already know about prunes. I don't think I have to tell anybody about prunes. Prunes are good for constipation. It's also good for parasites. It's also good for low blood cholesterol. And there's an acid in prunes called benzoic acid, which is used for liver disease, blood poisoning, and kidney disorders. inside prunes. It has a high fiber content in the prune itself, not the juice. And remember what a prune is. Everybody know what a prune is, right? What is a prune? It's a dried plum, right. As for strawberries, strawberries have been proven to protect against viruses and cancer. It also protects DNA damage. Strawberries. It also protects against herpes simplex virus. Strawberries. It also helps against skin disorders and acne. Strawberries contain high amounts of vitamin C and have more fiber than a slice of whole grain bread. The fruit strawberry. It's high in potassium. It's an antioxidant, which all of us need. In fact, there are some fruits and vegetables that can be used as an antioxidant where you don't have to use tetracycline, ampicillin, amoxicillin. If you can use certain fruits and vegetables, it'll take care of that. And some herbs. Strawberries can block the transformation of nitrosaminin, which is a powerful cancer-causing substance. And the viruses that strawberries can destroy in the body are retroviruses and herpes viruses. They also mentioned, says, do not remove the strawberry cap until they are ready to eat. To keep the vitamin C intact. If you take the little top off the strawberry, the stem, they call it the cap. If you take that off, you'll lose the vitamin C content. Just that little thing that Allah put on top of the strawberry. And the brother's saying not only strawberries, all fruits. Watermelon is a natural diuretic. It's a natural diuretic. It's a blood purifier. It cleanses the tissues, and it gets rid of canker sores in your mouth. Watermelon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions garlic in the Quran. And we know that garlic is one of the types of vegetables that you can't go near the masjid after you've eaten it raw. Cooked garlic and cooked onions is okay to go to the masjid. But raw garlic and raw onions, you can't go to the masjid. And it's been proven that garlic lowers serum cholesterol. And there's a whole lot of things. I mean, it's just too much stuff that garlic. Garlic is used in treating allergies, arthritis, arteriosclerosis, cancer, diabetes, hypoglycemia, fungus disease, gastrointestinal disorders, colitis, pulmonary disease like asthma, bronchitis, and pneumonia. And I just read an article today, that they made another startling discovery that garlic, if it's broken down into a liquid, if you wash your hair with it, it'll strengthen your hair and make your hair grow and help get rid of baldness. Salawat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who loves us more than anything. Now, yeah, you can use it in pill form. They have something called chiolic and some other things where they've taken away the smell of it. Somewhere. Garlic, yes, mentioned in the Quran. Onions and garlic is mentioned. Garlic and onions is mentioned in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمٍ وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَنْ نَصْبِرَ عَلَى طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا. It says, and when you said to Moses, meaning the children of Israel, the Jews, and when you said to Musa, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وعلى نبينا كذلك, we're not able to be patient with this one food. Come on, get rid of this. Come on, call on your Lord to give us another food. We can't take eating just this one food. This is what I said to Musa. فَدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ. So call on your Lord, Musa. They did this arrogantly. They weren't really trying to, you know, be nice about it. They were doing it in an arrogant way. Call on your Lord, Musa, because we don't want to be patient eating this one type of food so he can bring some more food out of the earth for us. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't know the number of this verse, where it says, مما في تنبت في الأرض من بقلها وقيت من بقلها وقثائها وفومها وعدسها وبصلها. The green herbs, the garlic, the onions, the lentils, some pot herbs and something else. I can't remember. Qithaa. I can't remember what qithaa is. You know what qithaa is? Qithaa. Qithaa. I don't know. We'll find it inshallah. But there's five or six different vegetables mentioned in this ayah. And this is something that we really need to pay attention to. Anytime Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions food in the Quran, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions food in the Sunnah, we should advantageously go to look and see what's the, first of all, we know it's got some benefit. If Allah mentions some fruits or vegetables in the Quran, the first thing should come to your mind is, Allah wants you to eat it. He wants you to, because there's some benefit in it. Right? Because look at what Musa said to them right after that. قال أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير اهبطوا مصرا فإنكم ما سألتم. Right? He said, do you want to exchange the higher for the lower? Do you want to exchange that which is good for that which is worse? So this tells us now that lentils, onions, garlic, these type of vegetables that Allah mentioned, has some benefit. It's proven that lentils, which is called adas in Arabic, adas, helps the eyesight. It helps strengthen the eyes. It's very interesting that in Arabic, the lentils is called adas because of this thing, what is this thing right in the middle of your eye here, that part of the eye? The dark part. The small one. What's the small dark part right here in the middle? I don't know. I always get confused between the cornea, the iris, and the pupil. Which one is the little one? That one right there, the black part right there. That little black one is the pupil? Right. Okay, so the little dot, black dot right in the middle of our eye is called the what? That's the iris. Okay, this is Arabic. It's called adas. Adas. I guess it's diuresis. And of course the kidneys is that which we use, it enables us to go to the bathroom. Right. So, there's been a worldwide, in the worldwide cancer clinic, it says use 3 tablespoons of pureed asparagus. In a worldwide cancer clinic test, they use 3 tablespoons of pureed asparagus in their therapies, and the high amounts of carotene, vitamin C, and selenium makes this vegetable excellent for cancer treatment. We have a couple from the sisters, and I know the sisters know more about this stuff than we do in most cases. The sister's asking, what book are you reading from? I forgot the name of the book. I think it's called Fitness Wellness. Wellness Fitness or Fitness Wellness. I forgot. No, it's not by Muslim. No. We want to just mention just a couple more. Another one is broccoli. Broccoli lowers the risk of cancer, primarily cancer of the colon, and also cancer of the esophagus, and also cancer of the larynx, and also cancer of the lung, and the prostate, and the oral cavity, the pharynx, and the stomach. This is broccoli. Allahu Akbar. Alright? Broccoli also blocks cell mutations. Alright? Which can foreshadow cancer. It was found that people who ate more broccoli, cabbage, and Brussels sprouts had a low risk of colon and rectal cancer. And I like to just add to this for myself, not from the book. Heart disease is the number one killer in the United States. The second highest is colon and rectal. And one of the reasons why the heart disease is so high is because of the colon. Because of what we put in our stomach. Or because of what we don't put in our stomachs. Alright? These are the 12 top vegetables. The 12 top vegetables. In order. Broccoli, kohlrabi, cauliflower, kale, turnip, radishes, rutabaga, cabbage, watercress, Brussels sprouts, mustard greens, horseradishes. And I would suggest that you get yourself a champion juicer, or you get yourself a juice man juicer, one of the better kind, not the cheap ones, if you can afford it, inshallah. And regularly, instead of buying Minute Maid, instead of buying Tropicana, instead of buying these other things, take these fruits and these vegetables and juice your own juices from these fruits and these vegetables and drink, if you can, 2 glasses a day. This is along, of course, with tahajjud, along with fasting, along with zikr. All the stuff is related. Don't think it's unrelated. Of course, we mentioned organic, yes. And you'll see some results, inshallah. And once again, the reason why we're mentioning all of this, and some people may be bored about this, the reason why we're mentioning this, there's only one reason why we're mentioning all these things. It's because Allah sent down the food and the drink to worship Him. He wants our bodies to be healthy so we can stand up at night. So we can go out and get dawah. How can you go out and get dawah effectively when your body is run down? Because you're not eating properly. Your breath is smelling, you run away to people, the message of Islam is sweet and your breath is stinking. No, I mean, it doesn't make sense. You know, your teeth are falling out because you're not eating properly. You see? And Allahumma musta'an. Okay, now let's go to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who without a doubt is the best guidance, and there is no guidance better than his guidance. We have the hadith from Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never expressed disapproval of food. If he desired it, he ate it. And if he disliked it, he left it alone. This, brothers in Islam, is really, this is a tremendous statement of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said, مَا عَابَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ طَعَامًا قَطَّ. And for the brother's information and the sister's information who are listening, who are studying the Arabic language, this word قَطَّ, قَاف, طَا, with the شَدَّ on the طَا, قَطَّ, قَطَّ is a word that's used normally with the فعل ماضي. It's used with the past tense verb. That those verbs that we're learning now in the Arabic class. This قط is used along with the past tense verb. So if you say, مَا صَلَّى رَجُلٌ قط, you say, if you just said, مَا صَلَّى رَجُلٌ, this person didn't pray. But if you say, مَا صَلَّى رَجُلٌ قط, that a man never prayed means he never, ever, ever prayed. This hadith says, مَا عَابَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ طَعَامًا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah alayhi wa sallam, Abu Qasim al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, according to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, ajma'in, never, ever, ever found fault in food. Ever. How many of us can say that? None of us. I only have to ask the question. None of us can say that they never found fault in food. Now, what does this mean? Somebody may say, well, I never complained. I never found any fault in the food. But this is not what Abu Huraira means. What Abu Huraira means here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only never voiced any disapproval for food, even inside of himself, he never found it any disapproval of food. And if he did find any disapproval of any food, if he liked it, he would eat it, and if he didn't, he would just leave it. He just leave it the way it was. And this is from Al-Mustafa, the great example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Imam al-Nawawi, he says that the word aaba, which is disapproval, it comes from the word aid. He says, هو أن يقول هذا مالح قليل الملح حامل. He said, this is to say that, for instance, you find something bitter, something salty in something. And you find something coarse in something. Or something is not ripe. It's not well done. You know, your wife brings you something, and you say, it's not done. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never have said this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never have said it was too salty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never have found any fault in the food whatsoever. He was always a thankful servant to Allah. In his prayers, in his fasting, and whatever he did, he was always a thankful servant sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And if he didn't like it, he would leave it. So this is an example that we should take, especially for those brothers whose wives can't cook well. This is an excellent quality to have. Because you know how they can get, if they find out that you don't approve their cooking, that they can't cook, that when you married them, their mother didn't really spend time in teaching them how to cook, or they didn't learn it from somewhere else. If you complain, brothers, once again, this can be a cause for divorce. Right? This can be a cause for divorce. Unless you already knew it before you married her. And if you knew that, you just have to handle it, inshallah. Just be patient. Or you could teach her to cook.
That's right.
But I think most of the brothers don't know how to cook, though. Now, I would almost guarantee that probably some of the brothers never even seen inside the kitchen. They probably accidentally go back, what room was that? Where did that room come from? Kitchen. Huh? That's why they're not eating right, because they don't go in and make those pots. Then we have another hadith where this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companion Abu Huraira said, "أن رجلا كان يأكل أكلا كثيرا فأسلم وكان يأكل قليلا فذكر ذلك للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فقال إن المؤمن يأكل في معي واحدا والكافر يأكل في سبعة أمعية والكافر يأكل في سبعة أمعاء." Rawahu al-Bukhari. He said that a man used to eat a lot, used to eat great amounts of food, and then he took shahada and he started eating a little amount of food. When this was mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam said, the believer eats in one colon, one intestine, but the infidel, the pagan, the kafir, eats out of seven. And then the other narration goes on and says, that was Bukhari, and the narration from Muslim says, on the authority of Abu Musa and Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, that a man who was a pagan was entertained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He ordered a sheep to be milked, and the man drank what was drawn from the sheep. Then he drank another, then he drank it again, and then another, and then another, and then another. And he drank the milk from which had been drawn from seven sheep. And in the morning, the man accepted Islam. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered a sheep to be milked for him again. When he had drunk what was drawn from it, he ordered another to be milked, but when he didn't finish all the milk, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the believer drinks in one intestine, wal kafir yashrabu fi sab'ati ami'a. That the believer drinks in one intestine, but the infidel drinks in seven. Is it literal? Allah knows best. Allah knows best. It could be talking about a spiritual intestine, it could be talking about both, physical and spiritual. But one of the things that the ulama mentioned about this hadith, is that this shows the eating habits of the Muslims. That the Muslims don't force themselves to eat a whole lot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As for the kuffar eat a lot. Then the next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu, collected by Bukhari and Muslim, ta'amul wa'idi yakfi lithnain, وطعام الاثنين يكفي الأربعة وطعام الأربعة يكفي الثمانية. It's corrected by Imam Muslim, excuse me, on the authority of Jabir رضي الله عنه. He said, one person's food is enough for two. Two persons' food is enough for four. And four persons' food is enough for eight. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I swear by Allah, brothers and sisters, and I bear witness there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the slave and his messenger. The messenger of Allah speaks the truth. And if we practice this, we'll have more money. If we all ate out of the same bowl with our wives and our children, instead of having separate plates, we ate with one big tray or one big plate, as the people of the past used to do, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, we'll notice that what we normally ate by ourselves, two people could eat. And two people would be enough for four people, and four would be enough for eight. Not only that, you'll become full. Not only that, as I mentioned in some weeks in the past, your wives won't have that much to wash. They won't have that many plates to be washed. Right? And it also brings more unity in the house. It brings more love and compassion in the house because you're eating out of the same plate. And this is a tremendous blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also have the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where his wife, our mother, whom we should love more than our biological, physical mothers, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked sweetmeats and honey. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked sweetmeats and honey. يُحِبُّ الْحَوَّى وَالْعَسَلُ يُحِبُّ الْحَوَّى وَالْعَسَلُ. He liked sweetmeats and honey. And the sweetmeat here, this is something that's eaten with what they call it in English. They call it sweet meat. They translate it as sweet meat. But I forgot exactly what they call it. Inshallah, we'll check it out. But it's well known in Morocco. It's well known in Morocco. And it's something that they add to the meat to make it that way. And Allah knows best. And Jabir radiallahu anhu said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سأل أهله الأدن فقالوا ما عندنا إلا خل فدعا به فجعل يأكل به ويقول نعم الإدام الخل نعم الإدام الخل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked his family for some condiments and was told that they only had vinegar. He called for it, and as he was using it in his food, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, vinegar is the best of condiments. Vinegar is the best of condiments. So, if we want to have the best of condiment in our food, instead of salt, we should try vinegar or something like it. And vinegar has also been scientifically proven to work some wonders. Now we're going to move on, inshallah, to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said about the garlic and the onion. We have the hadith from Jabir radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said, من أكل ثوما أو بطلا فليعتزلنا أو قال فليعتزل مسجدنا أو ليقعد في بيته. The Jabir رضي الله عنه said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he who eats garlic or onions must keep away from us. In another narration, keep away from our masjid. In another narration, or he must stay in his house. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in another narration, that Jabir said in another narration, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أوتي بقدر فيه خضرات من بقول فوجد لها ريحا فقال قربوها قربوها إلى بعض أصحابه وقال قل فإني أناجي من لا يتناجي. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought a pot containing some green vegetables, but on noticing that it had an odor, he told them to give it to one of his companions, to whom he said, "Eat it, for I have intimate conversation with the one on whom you don't have an intimate conversation with." And this hadith means that I have a conversation with the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who visit him to bring him revelation, etc., and visit him with glad tidings, etc., etc. And as far as you're concerned, companions, you don't have this ability, and you don't have this situation, so you can eat the garlic and the onion. What we like to say about onions and garlic, and we only mentioned a few things about it, and that is that this is something that is mentioned in both Quran and the Sunnah, and this is something, two vegetables that we should keep in our homes. These are two vegetables that we should keep in our homes as much as we can, and we should utilize it as much as we can. Someone may ask the question, well, the salat is five times obligatory on the Muslim man to go to the masjid. How do we do it? Simple. Either A, you eat the garlic when you get home at night after Isha, or you eat it after Fajr. Inshallah, it'll be gone by the time Zuhr comes. Or B, you cook it. You cook it, and you still get the benefit, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As for the brothers and sisters who eat onions and their wives and their husbands can't stand it, then that's something that you need to consider. Even though it has this benefit, you don't want to break up your marriage because of garlic and onions. Inshallah. And then on the authority of Abu Umama, radiallahu anhu, for the Prophet, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان إذا رفع مائدته قال الحمد لله الذي الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه غير مكسب ولا مودع ولا مستغنى عنه ربنا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, when the Prophet was at the Ma'idah, which is the thing that we put the food on. And there's a difference between a khuwan or a khiwan and a ma'idah. To the best of my knowledge, you can't call a ma'idah if it has food on it. It's called a khuwan. This is just an extra little benefit here, a linguistic gift I'm giving you, inshallah. Khuwan or khiwan, to the best of my memory, is the one with the food on, or the one with the food. So the ma'idah is the one with the food on it, and the khuwan is the one without the food on it. So if you remove the food, that's called khuwan. If you put food on it, that same sheet or mat on the floor is called ma'idah. Not ma'idah, ma'idah. And this was presented to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when it was removed, after it was removed, he said, "Praise be to Allah abundantly and sincerely, of such a nature as is productive of blessing, is not insufficient, abandoned, or ignored, O our Lord." This hadith is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. As for what we say when we forget to say Bismillah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has reported that he said, on the authority of our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha, in an authentic hadith transmitted by Tirmidhi wa Abu Dawood, إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَنَسِيَ أَنْ يَذْكُرَ اللَّهَ عَلَى طَعَامِهِ فَلْيَقُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ وَآخِرَهُ. He said, when one of you eats and forgets to mention Bismillah, the name of Allah, over his food, he should say, before he finishes the food, while he's still eating or drinking, in the name of Allah at the beginning and at the end of it. In the name of Allah, in the beginning of it, and at the end of it.